There's such a profound intimacy that develops on Sesshin through his leadership of heart and presence. Steve Wallace has been encouraging us all in so many ways for so long, and tonight he'll encourage us with words as well.
So, as we chant it again today, it says in this Xinxin Ming, the more you talk and think on this, the further from the truth you'll be. And here we are, 5 days or more, into piling more and more words into basically this one line of this piece of our liturgy. The great way is not difficult. It simply avoids picking and choosing. It's not difficult for those who are unattached to preferences. And I've had kind of a long, stormy relationship with this particular piece of our liturgy. It seems quite baffling and mysterious to me. Quite difficult this way. You know, it says the great way is not difficult, and yet it seems so slippery that it's hard to really talk about it and really make sense. So many things we can say, and none of them quite hit it on the nose. We used to have a chant that we did, Faith in Mind, that was our old translation of this piece, and I loved it. Very much. It was kind of like a Zen jingle, and we did it every afternoon, and it had a little melody to it, and we did it to the drum, and it had a rhythm, and we would all I would bounce along as we were chanting it. The great way is not difficult for those who do not begin choosing preferences or and undisguised. And it went on and on and on, and talked about the more we talk about it, the further away we'll be, and on and on it went. It's one of the longest things that we do. There was a time not long ago where I thought that Zen was going to fix me somehow, maybe fix all of you and make the world a whole lot less irritating than I often find it. And I find that neither one of those is actually necessarily happening for me. So where exactly is the liberation in this? It seems totally absurd to me to talk about, not having preferences or even not being attached to preferences or picking and choosing. Of course we pick and choose. What kind of life would it be without picking and choosing? We meet our life and it's full of great beauty and just terrible, unspeakable anguish and hurt and loss. And what kind of people would we be if, you know, if we didn't prefer some things over others? And if when bad things happen to people we love, if we didn't get angry and shake our fist at her? I don't think so. So, what is this? Not picking and choosing, and it's so hard to say, and yet, I took as my practice for several months. Each day before I did my sitting at home, I would read this Xinxin Ming and try and make some sense out of it. And I never really did succeed in making sense. But it's one of those things where it reminds me of a piece of one of the koans that we did where Jiaozhou says, I don't understand either. You know, it's enough to ask about this matter, you know, just make your bows and withdraw. You know, having the right question, I think, is often the truly important thing. You know, to engage in you know what does it mean to find liberation in the middle of suffering and pain and joy and the whole range of our experience. I want to read you something. I apologize to Josh and Carol who have heard me read this before, but I think it's quite fitting to this question. It's from a book by Joan Tollefson. And she says, when we wake up, we get nothing, and we've gone nowhere. And yet waking up is the difference between heaven and hell. But paradoxically, waking up is the realization that the boundless absolute includes both heaven and hell. The longing to avoid hell and experience only heaven turns out to be an aspect of hell. A kind of entrancement or siren song. There is no such thing as up without down or a perpetually sunny day. Liberation includes the whole ride, not just the parts we like. Only when we imagine that we are a separate fragment in a fragmented world do we want only heaven and no hell. Liberation is the end of taking it all personally. And of trying to have perpetual heaven. Waking up is the willingness to be in hell, the willingness to fail, to have all our human imperfections, to be exactly as we are in this moment. That doesn't mean we lose all interest in waking up from suffering and delusion, but we know where freedom resides. We know that it's not out there somewhere. It's not the result of getting rid of something, or attaining something, or fixing something. It's not some special experience other than the one we're having right now. We understand that the way out of our suffering is in no longer needing a way out. So this no longer needing a way out. There's something so powerful about that for me. This waking up to exactly where I am and meeting my life as the universe's presentation of the moment. Who am I to reject what's here right now? And it doesn't at all mean that I have to like this moment, or, you know, that I'm going to be all cool with however it is. I often find myself shaking my fist at it, and I think, you know, that's okay. It's this waking up, it can be quite painful, and yet my sense is that there truly is something liberating about being willing to meet our lives as they are. So I find that encouraging.
Thank you.